Good morning and welcome to Tip TV Finance. I'm joined by Zach Meir, co-presenter today, and Gaurav Sharma, business editor of International Business Times. Going to be talking about all things oil this morning. Lots going on in the macroeconomic world. Oil above $50 a barrel. Ed, what are your thoughts on that?
I'd say it's a crude state of affairs. That's how I would put it. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably stuck in this range for a while now. But one key thing is, and this was the interesting announcement that we had last week, is that all the OPEC and the so-called non-OPEC that made a group of 24 producers who said we will cut in 2017 or balance inventories based on our point of view, whether or not it's a real terms cut remains to be seen. Now, what they're saying is that we promised 1.8 million barrels per day worth of cuts. We've already taken out 1.5 or are on the way. So 80% of the target, at least on paper, has been met. Now, this has not been confirmed by the data aggregators, but this then bounced up the price a little bit last week. Then, of course, there's the old Trump effect, shall we say. So we can't, it has many facets, and one of the controversies that he stirred up, he's approved two pipelines that have been, you know, they proved highly controversial, especially Keystone XL, which, if some of us recollect, it's gone back a good 8 or 10 years that it's been running, and suddenly he comes in and he says, build those pipelines, but use American steel. Mm-hmm. So that, again, gave the U.S. industry a bit of a bounce. Now, the key thing here is that was reflected in the stats that we had over the weekend from Baker Hughes, which again, yet again, says that the number of U.S. rigs has gone up. Now, nobody here is implying that we'll be back to the boom times for U.S. shales, that some of these rubbish shale plays, which were vastly expensive, will come back into play. But I think some of the viable shale plays are coming back. People are drilling more. That's the feedback we also have from law firms who, you need a lawyer to drill a hole in the ground, apparently. So, and that's what they've been doing.
Everything else as well. But the issue here is basically centering around how much of an influence the you know this U.S. output would make on the price of crude. Would it actually get it down below 50, or how would it affect the price?
While OPEC is in play and the so-called non-OPEC players, while these 24 are at least on paper saying we'll keep cutting, I think what will happen is that we'll find some sort of balance in this range. I think it's more likely to stay around 55 rather than dive below 50. But I have a very strong feeling that when OPEC meets again around about, in 25th of May, if my memory serves me well, what they'll do is that they will announce that they've done their bit, their objective has been achieved, and that's it. Now, what happens then would be the interesting thing. In the interim, what is happening stateside is that all the shale players, they're hedging their bets. Most of them have rehedged for the next 12 to 18 months. And they think they can make 50 back. In fact, if you remember some of the conversations we had last year, some of these guys can actually even make it work at $35.
I remember all the conversations we had last year.
Of course.
But isn't that thing about hedging, I mean, that's the thing. It implies, in fact, that it's not actually necessarily the level of crude, whether it's 40 or 60, but it's stability. If there's stability there for more than a certain period of time, 3 months, 6 months, it means that any producer can get used to that environment and factor these things accordingly. The main problem we had post-2014, the price was all over the place.
Indeed.
So people didn't actually know whether they're coming or going.
This might come back to haunt me, but I'd say we're probably stuck here till 2018. Well, in 2018, we're in this 50s range, mm-hmm. and we're here to say, because even if there's not too much oil out there, there's a perception that there's too much oil out there. A lot of people think that some of this there's one thing about shale production is that the decline rate is very high, but you can bring the well back on stream pretty quickly. So the turnaround is a lot quicker than it is for conventional drilling. And again, the issue with conventional drilling is that once you've started it, you're committed to it. Look at the North Sea. The oil price nosedived, but some of the investments made in 2013 actually took the output up at the worst possible time for the North Sea.
So the shale players are actually the best suited to this sort of environment. They can just turn things on and off like a tap.
Sure, but they're not swing producers like the Saudis in a classic sense. The Saudis almost always remain swing producers. Whereas stateside, well, you could say they're buffer producers because the spirit of private enterprise, there's no one single entity colluding to cut or raise output. So the Saudis will pretty much always remain the world's classic swing producer because Aramco can just switch on and off. But I would say we're stuck here for a little while. The only thing is, if in February somebody at OPEC gets a little bit naughty, doesn't follow through on it, and the likes of Platts and Argus they filed data telling us, well, hang on a minute, this is just not quite reconciling what we've been told and what's being loaded. That's when the problem starts. But I think what's happening right now is that given the situation, and they know how tricky the situation is, they're all holding firm.
With regards to trading oil as well, you're saying probably a low of $50, but really a high of 55. So it's quite, for oil, quite a tight range. Would it be buy the lows, sell the highs within that range if you were trading oil?
I would say so. And it's very news flow oriented right now. Mm-hmm. If you look at the five trading days of last week, one day we had a 2% rise. The next day we had a 2% fall. But it's fall from a relative, rise and a fall from a relative base. We pretty much, both benchmarks stayed between 50 and 55. Brent at one point went to 55.76. I think that's where it is trading, somewhere around that region this morning. But we had the high, the falls one day. So was there a bit of profit taking going on within the same range? That is a key question. And I think I'm inclined to believe that, yes, it was.
Perfect. Well, Graf, thank you very much for your insight. It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Good to be here.